This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hi, Doors. Welcome back to Q&A with the Dean. I'm Lauren, and I'm joined by Dean Grisolfi. How are you doing today, Dean Grisolfi?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. So, I was just wondering, what was your elementary school experience like?
Well, my elementary school experience was a little hard to separate from my other schooling experiences. I went to the same school from the age of 3 through 17, which is a weird choice. Has some beautiful things and some disadvantages, as you might imagine. But I had a great K-12 experience. It was, so I went to an independent school in Michigan, which is where I'm from. And the school was, it's just a weird school. And, you know, I study learning and designing learning environments for a living. And I've always been really grateful that I went to such a weird school because it gives me a way to imagine an alternative to what we generally see when we walk into schools. But the school was started by a couple who had fled Nazi Germany on Kristallnacht. And they had worked at a boarding school, a private boarding school in Germany. And so that was what they decided that they wanted to do once they got settled in the United States. And so they started a school that was called, their names were George and Anna Marie Roper. And so they started a school called Roper City and Country School is what they called it at first. And it's because this was in Metro Detroit. And at the time, they were pulling students from Detroit, which was quite urban, but they had a beautiful campus in a suburb called Bloomfield Hills, and it was on many acres. And so they were really trying to, you know, it's like, I don't know, the 50s, you know, so they're like trying to get kids back into nature. Anyway, so they started this school, and even though they were Jewish, it was not a Jewish school. And in fact, based on their own experiences as persecuted Jews, especially in Germany, but anti-Semitism does not end in Germany, they really wanted to emphasize the principles of humanism. And humanism means a lot of things, but at its core is about like the valuing of our own collective humanity and the establishment of, so the establishment of our humanity through connection. And so there's a lot of ways this plays out, but one way it really played out in a unique way at the school was about trying to flatten hierarchies between people, between kids and adults, or between kids of different ages. And so we called all of our teachers by their first names because that was a way of sort of signaling our shared humanity. There was a tremendous amount of work to sort of co-create rules and norms and expectations that we all believed were fair. There were a lot of town hall meetings. And so it was a really interesting place. And they also did other things, like now that I study, like, you know, learning for a living, that were really smart things. So they did, they had a looping model so that you would be with the same teacher for several years. There was actually just recently an article that came out in the New York Times that shows that looping with a teacher is actually one of the most effective pedagogical practices. And it's a free, right? Like, the free pedagogical practice, right? You just assign kids to the same teacher. You don't have to add more teachers or anything. But so we would be with the same teacher for 2 years, and then we would move and be with the next teacher for 2 years. And that was beautiful. And then the school had placed a huge emphasis on the arts. And that was also really lovely for me. And so I didn't really, my mom taught at that school as well. And so I didn't really realize how weird it was until I had opportunities to look in other spaces. So one place I noticed that was when my sister and I went to School of Religion classes, you know, because my parents are Lutheran. And so we had to go to all these Wednesday night classes in order to get confirmed. And that was one of the first places where I was like, oh, things work differently in other places. But then, ironically, the next time I really had that moment was when I was a PhD student studying schools. And I would be in a lot of high schools, and they just were overwhelming to me. We didn't have to say the Pledge of Allegiance. We got to pick our own classes. I mean, just the relationship, the sort of authority was distributed really differently in that school. So it really created for me a different model of what's possible. And no place is perfect. It definitely had some things that were not perfect about it, but it really helped. I think all the students really developed a sense of their own agency as a learner. And that really matters, right? Like that is a really adaptive practice. So I was very grateful.
That's super interesting. Did they, like, if the whole idea was to kind of break down hierarchies and like within age groups as well, were you kind of doing this, like had the same responsibilities in terms of like, you said there were town hall meetings and that kind of thing as a younger learner as when you were like in your 11th, 12th year of schooling?
Kind of. So they would have mixed age classes in elementary school. So as I mentioned, you could start school at 3 there. And so they would have like, they called it stage 1. And that was, you know, 3, 4, and 5 year olds. And then stage 2 was 5, 6, and 7 year olds. And you can imagine. And then we actually moved to a different building entirely that was all middle and high school. And developmentally, that's probably a smart thing to do, right? Like 8 year olds are a little different from 16 year olds. And so middle school and high school was in the same building, although we often had some of the same teachers, not always, but sometimes. And so we saw each other all the time, and it was a pretty small school. And so there were a lot of classes, that you would take that would be with, you know, open to all middle school or open to all high school. And so, town hall meetings in the upper, we called it the upper school, but that was for middle and high school, definitely often had 6th through 12th grade in those meetings. I can't remember what we called it in elementary school, but we had, the school has the elementary school for stage 2, the structure were domes, like literally it was like half of a cylinder, like, or half of a sphere plopped on the ground. And so there was a big one of those.
Wow.
It's wild. That's crazy. It's like, there are some parts of it that are very 70s, but so there's this big dome, no corners, right? So, and that's what we called it, the big dome. And we would have assemblies in the big dome in elementary school. And again, that could sometimes be stage 1 all the way through stage 4. So that would be like 3-year-olds through, you know, 10 or 11 year olds.
Wow. That's super interesting. So we mentioned classes. And here at Vanderbilt, we're also thinking about classes. So I've heard about this thing called Commons Seminars. And I was wondering if you could tell me more about it, because I don't really know anything at this point.
Yes. This is actually one of my favorite things. And the word is just now getting out because, you know, people are just starting to register for the spring. But every spring, the Commons features and supports the series of seminars. They're called Common Seminars. They're 1-credit seminars, and they're for first-year students, and they're taught by faculty all over the university. And they're basically just opportunities to explore something you don't know about with somebody who is really geeking out about this topic. So I was just meeting with faculty who were teaching the Common Seminars this week, and we were talking about how the seminars are so cool because they're mutually beneficial. So for students, it's a pretty low risk way, just 1 credit, a pretty low risk way to learn about something just because you think it's interesting, right? Which sometimes first year students don't have as much time to do that kind of exploration. And then for faculty, it's a chance to share a passion. Sometimes it's not directly related to the classes that people regularly teach. There's just like a huge variety of courses that people teach, and they can be all over the map. So like this spring, we have one called Harmony and Balance through Tai Chi and Flower Arrangement, which actually I have to say that common seminar has been run for a couple of years. It's very popular. One called Sustainable and Adaptive Fashion Design and Production. One called Kids These Days, How the Evolution of Childhood and Adolescence is Impacting Mental Health. One about LGBTQ rights, health, and wellness. One called The Art of Choosing. I mean, they are all over the map. Exploring contemporary Korean culture. Listening to contemporary cinema. The list goes on. I want to take them all, but this next one I think is going to be popular. The Barbie Movie and Feminist Theory. So they're sort of all over the map, as you can imagine. And, you know, it's not unpredictable who's teaching these courses, but it's, as I mentioned, like a lot of the time faculty teaching those courses don't get a chance to teach a full course on that topic. Was it last year we had a class called Ode to Olive Oil?
I would have taken that class.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So there's also, there's usually some cooking. Wait, there's one. Oh, this is the one I was thinking of. Israel and Palestine, a culinary history, which actually is probably a very timely one to be having right now. Yeah. So there's another one called, okay, then I'll stop listing them. Chemical sociology, gangs, mass incarceration, and clandestine chemistry.
Wow.
Right. No one can see your face, but I can tell. Yeah. Like, they are so cool. And in fact, when I talk to the faculty who are teaching them, I'm like, I wish I could take all of these classes. So they're intended to be like not stressful, like one credit, right? So it's kind of an intellectual sampler, but it is a chance to just like, well, I don't know, what is clandestine chemistry even mean? I have no idea. That sounds cool. I'm going to check it out. And I will say, often students tell me that their common seminar is their favorite class of the semester.
I believe that, yeah.
Yeah, and they're small seminars. They're capped at 15 people. Oh, wow. And so often I also hear about people forming good, like tight friendships in those seminars because you've maybe heard me say this before, but on the commons we're constantly thinking about the ways that people connect and form community. And so we try to create opportunities for people to like find commonalities, right? So for the common seminar, you know, you have one thing in common with all the other people there, which is like, you thought this class sounded cool. Mm-hmm. Nobody forced you to take it. And sometimes that actually belies like a lot of, or, you know, prepares for a lot of other connections that you have with people in your class.
That's super neat.
They're great things.
No, that sounds super interesting. I'm definitely going to try to enroll in one of those. And is it usually pretty hard to get into one of them? Like, are there enough spots offered so that most of the freshman class could take them? Or how does that?
So there's only 21 common seminars and they're capped at 15. So okay. There aren't enough for the whole first year class to take them. But first year students have priority in registering, which I know is like the only thing for which that's true. So sometimes there are common seminars that have wait lists if there's a topic that's really popular. But we never have all of our common seminars completely filled. And I think it has to do with people having a lot going on. Yeah, and so this is my fifth year sort of coordinating the common seminars. And so I guess I would say if the one you thought sounded really cool is full, but there's one with space, I would it's going to be a great experience either way. Mm. So I recommend trying it out.
Okay. Well, we should all be looking into that, guys, okay? Thank you so much for your time, Dean Grisolfi, and for sharing about that. And just a big thank you to all our listeners. This has been Q&A with the Dean. Keep listening for Commons Calendar and then the Human of the Commons interview, and we'll see you next week.
Welcome back, Commodores. I'm Saria Mohammed, and I'm here with this week's Commons Calendar. To start off, the Margaret Cummings Women's Center presents the 2023 Cummings Calendar on Women in Culture and Society. Conversations with Serena Rurke, the founder of the Me Too movement, will be taking place at Wilson 103 from 5 to 6 p.m. Food and book signings will also be taking place. Join the Office of Student Organizations, Leadership and Services tomorrow, November 9th, at the Leadership and Services Space, 2402 Vanderbilt Place, from 12:30 to 2 p.m. to learn how to cope with burnout by learning different techniques and strategies. If you're free on November 10th, this Friday, from 12 p.m. to 1, come grab a little Diwali package from the AAPIO at EBL 288 Eskin Biomedical Library. We all love a good workout. Join this standby on Saturday morning, November 11th, from HIT Squad. Some high-intensity interval training will be taking place, so be ready. The HIT Squad will be taking place between 9 to 11 a.m. in the Stanbob Seminar Room. Join Hank House for Hank Forgiving this Sunday, November 12th from 6 to 7 p.m. Hank House Floor 4, where they gather together and reflect on the moments they are all thankful for this semester. The Center for Wellbeing is holding their 30 Minutes Meditation Mondays via Zoom and in person this Monday, November 13th, from 1:15 to 1:45. Tuesday, November 14th, from 7 p.m. to 8, there will be a Doors, Dollar, and Dialogues event at Buttrick Hall, 306, which will allow students to talk about their experiences at Vanderbilt, especially regarding finances, and canes will be provided. You don't want to miss out on that. Well, thank you for tuning in. That will be all for this week's Commons Calendar. For more content, visit mycommons.life and follow our Instagram at mycommonslife. Ciao, belle!
Hi, Doors. Welcome to the Human of the Commons interview. My name is Cynthia, and I'll be your host for the segment. Today, I'm here with Daniela. She's double majoring in CS and HOD and originally from Silver Springs, Maryland. Hi, Daniela.
Hey, Cynthia. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I've been pretty good, just trying to get through the week.
Actually, before we begin, can you tell us how has your week been so far?
Yes, it's been pretty good. I think that the weather is definitely making me feel a little bit more happy. Yes. So I've been able to kind of, you know, lock in, but also at the same time, walk through campus and be kind of happy through it. So
yes, like, I don't know. I feel like it's like such a drastic change. I wasn't expecting for it to like.
Yeah. But it's so beautiful, and I love all the trees. Yes. So nice.
A lot of photo ops. But
yes, for sure.
On that note, how do you feel like your transition to Vandy has been this far? Like, we're, like, in the middle of the semester. How do you feel? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I feel like I finally have reached the point where I kind of consider this place kind of a second home. I feel like coming in, I was so worried, especially because I'm from Maryland, right? So I'm so far away from home. I never have been this far away ever in my whole entire life. And I wasn't sure if I was going to like the South. I'd never been to the South before, but it really reminds me of home, like the weather, the trees. And I think I've gotten to the point where I wake up and I'm like, yay, I'm here. Like, I'm at Vandy. So it's been nice. I think that I've reached that point where I'm like, I'm getting used to everything. And it's such a good feeling to finally feel like, okay, like this is my second home a little bit.
Yes. I feel like, yeah, everything's like starting to click. Yeah. Like, at first I was like, okay, what's happening? Like, it was just like weird. Like, it, like, I'm from Texas, so this is like, I was like, this is like a greener Texas. But like, it, once you get to know like Nashville a little bit more, like, I'm like talking about, I'm like been here forever, but like it really does feel like a second home. Like, it's so like welcoming and like warm. Like, okay, right now it's not warm, but like the people in Nashville are really like welcoming, and it's just really cool. Like, I like it here a lot. Exactly. Especially campus just feels like it's like big enough where like you can like still like find new things every day, but it's small enough where like you don't feel like disoriented like walking through. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, that makes sense. And I also think that like, especially the first weeks, you hear a lot of upperclassmen be like, you'll get used to it, you'll get used to it. And I was like, I'm never gonna get used to it. Like, I miss home, I miss my friends back home. Like, this isn't something I'm never gonna get used to. And I feel like my brain has kind of clicked. It's just like one day I was like, wait, like, I kind of like it here. And it's been a new feeling, but it's been such a nice feeling because it's like you're far away from home, but you're still kind of happy in the space that you are. So that has been really relieving.
I feel like I've learned, like, grown a lot as a person. Like, do you? Like, it just feels so different. Like, no, I'm like,
so
I'm
weird.
Not the same person I was.
It's like, so weird. Like, I've, in my brain, I've like separated like high school me and college me. And I'm just like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to be so like on top of everything, which is so not true. But it literally feels like, even though it's been such a short amount of time, I swear I've changed so much, and in such a good way too. So
I know it's really like, I don't know. I feel like people always talk about like college, like it's going to change you and all of this. And I was like, oh, whatever. Like, it's like, that's BS. No, they were right. They were speaking truth. I'm like, oh, okay. I feel like so independent now. I'm like, that's crazy. Like, walking back from main campus, like at night, I'm like, wait a minute. Something does not feel right. I'm like, oh,
and like, that's real. It literally, like, I don't know about you, but like being Hispanic, like, oh my God. Like, I remember back home, like, I felt like my parents were always so mother dad, you know, like always like, on top of me and like always making sure, like, did you eat? Did you sleep? Like, all these things. And now it's like I'm here and like I've like make my own decisions, like small ones to like when I decide to do my laundry to like what time I'm going to sleep, you know? And it's just like having so much freedom without like your parents, you know, like being on top of you is like so such a nice new feeling.
I know. Like, I feel, okay, my mom still calls me, like, all the time, like, at night, like, if she knows I'm, like, on main campus, like, on, like, a later, like, 8-ish, she'll, like, call me, like, on the way back to, like, commons, because she's, like, you're not walking alone. I'm, like, please, it's so safe here, like, you not have to worry, but that's crazy.
No, my parents, also, like, my abuela, like, my grandma, she's always calling me, you know, making sure, like, have I had food, did I sleep, like, just making sure that I'm okay, and it's so sweet, because, like, you know, like, I feel like I'm far away from home, but I can still hear my mom and dad, like, right there with me, you know?
No, I know what you mean. Also, like, on that note, like, how does it feel like being like first gen and Latina, like finding that community at Vandy? Because I know we're like really small.
Yeah, I mean, I come from, like I said, like the DMV area, right? So like DC, Maryland, Virginia, like it's majority Hispanic. Like I've never really felt out of place. It's majority first gen, majority like Hispanic. So like coming here, I was genuinely really worried. I mean, I feel like with any school that's a PWI, there is some sense of worry because it's like, where are my people? I'm not going to find my people. Zero. And I think that representation is so, so important. So at first coming here, I was really worried. And like, even like, I will admit, like just looking around campus, like you're like, where are my people? You know, we're so minority. We're so minority. And I remember I would always call my parents, always call my sister, be like, you know, like, I don't know if I belong here. Like, I really don't know. Like, I don't see anyone who looks like me. And the truth is, like, unfortunately with higher education, like there's just so little of us. Yes. And you really have to like search for those people. So I think that it's been kind of hard, but I've been like, I realized that coming here, I've tried to make more of a connection with my culture and like finding and digging for like our community that's sometimes so hard to find at the surface level, you know?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Well, like, how was Café con Leche?
It was so good. So since like I'm in Vida, so with the salsa team, that has been so nice because I've been able to like meet people like in Vida, but also ALAS, like the Latin American Association. And it was so nice. I felt like I finally, like, I actually knew people in our community. Yeah. And it was so nice just to like see everyone like present and like have their culture clothes on. And it reminded me so much of home, but it also just like brought me so much sense of like just happiness to see that there's like this space where like there are people like me, and it's like so nice to see that culture be so like empowered. So I loved it so much.
Yeah, even from like the audience point of view, like I was like sitting there in the audience and there's so many people, like I thought like I was gonna be like predominantly like all Hispanics there, but it was like everyone was there. And I was like, I love like the support they're showing. Like that's so like, that just speaks to how like close-knit of a community like you build at Vandy. Like no matter like the cultural differences, like people will support each other, and I like love that. Like exactly. That's so,
it's so nice.
Yeah, it is so nice. Yeah, it's just like, it's crazy. Like I don't know, I feel like I have the same experience as you, like coming to Vandy, like not really like thinking that there was gonna be many of us like here. And that's true, like there isn't that many of us here, but like at the same time, like the ones that are here, like they like make it count. Like it's like quality over quantity, because like you just feel at home. Like they make you feel at home. And it's just like a lot of the upperclassmen, they like treat you like they're like, they'll like just like bring you in. And it's like, it's so crazy because they're like so welcoming. And I'm like, that's so like, it's just not what I was expecting. Like it's such a like nice, like I guess not realization, but like it's just like, it's like turnout like just well, better than I expected. Exactly. Yeah, it's just like, but I definitely feel like we have some wisdom to impart on the freshman community that's coming in for like next year. What would you like, what's one piece of advice that you would give them?
Wait, like advice for like any, or like the Latinx people who are
coming? You could do both. I feel like even the do both.
Okay. So, like, advice that I would give to, like, just people who are coming?
Yeah, like, first years that are coming in. Like, I feel like a lot of, like, the stuff that they told us, like, we just didn't believe. But, like, something, like, that you saw here at Vandy, like, within our, like, few months here that you would, like, tell them.
Okay. Should I say now?
Yeah.
Okay. I will say my biggest advice would just to be, like, be opened. Like, I think that coming in, you're gonna hear a lot of people be like, oh yeah, like everyone at Vandy's so welcoming and stuff like that, and it's genuinely so true. I think that like it takes a little to like kind of sit in this new space and like just realize like everyone's here to support you. And I think that one thing I realized is, despite like being first gen and Latinx, like I always have felt like there has been some support somewhere, whether that's like from the friends I've made or from the teachers, or I mean the professors.
Yeah, that's a big change.
Like, I know, I'm like, the teachers, I'm like, oh wait, professors. And it's just, yeah, like you're going to feel supported, and it might feel like a little like uneasy at first because, you know, I know for a lot of people, at least, like because Vandy pulls from so many different places, it's most likely you're not coming with anyone that you know. And if you are coming, it's probably like one or two, but it's definitely not like a lot of people. So like, I would just say like, be comfortable in the uncomfortable. You're going to feel out of place.
Definitely.
You're going to feel like, oh my God, like it's you against the world. But trust, like when you start meeting those friendships and those like relationships with your professors, you're going to feel so supported.
I feel like just know that's going to happen. Like, I feel like the first few weeks were like definitely like, okay, orientation was like, that was something else. I don't know what that was. But just know that after orientation, things get better, like a lot better. Yeah. Just persevere. Like,
yeah, push through.
Yeah.
Like, those are so tiring days. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like, the heat and like a long day out do not, like, should never be together. Like, those things don't go together. But like, yeah, just know, push through. And like, within like the, I feel like after the first month, like things just like click in. It's like, or actually, especially if you're taking Gen Chem, you're forewarned. Like, just know things will click after a little bit for you, a little bit after maybe, because Gen Chem is something. I have some thoughts on that. But anyways, yeah, just know that things will come together. Like, just give it time. I feel like that's mostly like, I just like needed to be patient with it. Like, things will like develop on their own. Right. Just like be in a like open mindset and like just be open to opportunities and different things. It's like, I feel like it's so random, like at Vandy, like you would literally just hear about like something and you're like, okay, why not, like let's do it. Like, it's just like you just have to be open to new opportunities, new experiences, and be adventurous.
Exactly.
Leave your old self behind.
Exactly. When I tell you, like back home, okay, so like back home I did like cross country and track. Like, I was just known as like the runner girl. And now I'm here and I'm like dancer. Like, what? Like, okay. I'm on the salsa team. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. It's like I've created a whole new, I feel like the people who like who perceive me here and see like the things that I'm involved in, or like the things that I've been like reaching out of my comfort zone to try, is something I would never have done back home. And so it's like, oh my God, like, I feel like I'm a whole new person, and it's crazy.
No, I know. It's like a newfound confidence. Like, I really like thought about it. I was like, what's going to happen? Like, what's the worst that can happen? Like, no one will know who you're. Like, really, it's such, like, it's a small school, but it really, like, if you look at it, like, it's big enough where, like, one mistake won't follow you around. Like, you can try different things and, like, embarrass yourself and you'll be fine. Like, I think it's the time to explore, like, and time to, like, try new things. Like, especially freshman year. Let's just, like, go for it. First semester, freshman year, like, no one cares. Everyone's, like, struggling. Like, I said, Gen Chem and, like, of the other, like, hard classes. Like, everyone's, like, doing their own thing. So, like, do your own thing.
Exactly.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah, and don't be, like, the truth is, like, everyone is in such different pathways here. Like, everyone has so many different interests. They're majoring in different things. Like, you are going to realize that, like, when you're here, like, everyone's just so different. And that is in such a good way. But in that process, just, like, be confident in your own, like, you know, your own journey.
And, oh, yeah, definitely.
And realize that your journey does not, and it's not going to look like anybody else's. And that's the beauty of it, to be honest. So
it's true. It's like, no, someone get that on writing, put it up on a plaque somewhere. Like, that's so real. Like, yeah, everything you just said is just, like, that's such a, like, phrase, like, a quote. Like, you can quote Daniela on that because that's
print
so
on
real.
Shirt.
Yes, like, just know, like, whoever asked, like, who said that, Daniela did. And she was speaking truth. Like, it's so real. But that was all for the Human of the Commons interview. Thank you all for listening, and make sure to stay tuned next week for another episode of the Commons Cast. Thank you, Daniela, for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Cynthia.
Bye.
Commons Cast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to Commons Cast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.